Hi, I'm Jet, host of Mornings with Nick Harcourt and Jet on the SoCal Sound. We are non-commercial, member-supported public radio in SoCal, and you can donate anytime at thesocalsound.org. I am joined by an artist who just released her first ever debut album, full-length album. It is called Aperture, and her name is Hannah Jadagu. And she'll be playing at the Echo on September 19th. She'll be playing a show for Pop Scene at Brick and Mortar in San Francisco on September 20th. And on September 21st, she's going to be playing the Starlet Room in Sacramento. Thank you so much for joining me, Hannah.
Thank you for having me.
So it's been a pleasure kind of being able to chat a little bit with you before starting this interview. But I wanted to pick your brain a little bit because not many people know you yet. Yeah. Like, our listeners just got introduced to you in the last year. Yeah. It's been such a great journey and you've had so many milestones. So I wanted to pick your brain on maybe some early influences. Like, when you were younger, starting out as an artist, what was something that you were listening to around your house and musical taste that kind of influenced you?
Yeah, I was listening to a lot of the Japanese house. So that was one of my favorite artists, especially when I first began producing and songwriting at the same time in high school. My sister just used to play them along with Bombay Bicycle Club and, you know, the 1975, all those kinds of indie pop artists. That's who I was listening to for sure.
Because I was going to say, I've been picking up on that vibe, that kind of shoegazy 90s alt like vibe that that sound kind of is proliferating through their music and also through yours. I love it. Definitely. And you were, I remembered reading somewhere that like your sister was a major influence on you as when you were younger. What did your relationship kind of blossom into with your sister surrounding music?
Yeah, it was interesting because I sort of always followed my sister, as my sister is older than me, in whatever activities they were doing. So it was like, you know, my sister joins choir, I join choir. My sister plays this album, I listen to that album. So it was cool having an older sister that could sort of guide me and lead the way for all these cool and hip trends that the kids were into.
Now, when you started officially playing music, how old were you when you first picked up a guitar and decided this is what I like doing?
Yeah, I've got a silly answer because I was like 11 when I first picked up a guitar, but I tried to play a CeeLo Green song and I was very bad. My hands were very small. So I didn't pick it up again until I was about 16. And that's when I started looking up YouTube videos and trying to learn how to play chords and stuff.
So self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught.
That's amazing. Sure. And self-written, self-produced, self-everything.
Definitely.
I mean, really. So your first foray into publishing your own music was your 2021 album, right? Or EP, sorry. What is going on? You recorded that on your iPhone.
Yeah.
You actually, like, produced everything on GarageBand, and you did the guitar work yourself, the mic yourself. I mean, how was it making that first EP?
You know, it was a lot more simple than people may think when they first hear that, because as someone who grew up with, you know, iPod touches and iPods, iPhones, iPads, I was very used to coming home after school and just messing around with GarageBand iOS, which is on your phone. So it was very intuitive for me and also the cheapest way. And I was inspired by this TED Talk that I watched of Steve Lacy, where he had bought an iRig, which allows you to connect your guitar into your phone. And then from there, I just sort of ventured into GarageBand and figuring out sounds and how to make it sound decent enough for SoundCloud and then Spotify.
I love that. Yeah, because you were putting your music out on Spotify or on SoundCloud first, right?
Yeah,
before
definitely.
Spotify and any of that. That's amazing. I'm one of my favorite artists too, Steve Lacy.
Yes.
Fantastic. I know
he's
a big influence on you too.
He's
absolutely amazing. So glad he's finally getting his just deserves with the Grammys and everything.
Absolutely.
But so now you're on Aperture. You've released your debut full-length album. I mean, that's got to feel fantastic. With Sub Pop, too.
Yes.
Fantastic, amazing brand. I mean, honestly, every indie artist that I've been in love with forever has come off that
label.
Yes. So I'm like, no wonder I love this album so much. But Aperture, I mean, you know, since your EP to Aperture, you have literally graduated high school, started school in music business at NYU.
Yeah.
You've taken gap years in between to help with touring and creating this album, but you've also then recorded in France too. I mean, these milestones are just incredible in your life. And when I was like sitting and listening to the album, I was feeling, you know, I was listening to a bunch of the songs and I was like, okay, aperture. I looked up the definition, you know, it means a space or an opening. And I kind of, after listening to the album and sitting with the title, I was thinking that, you know, it's where light enters, it's an opening. You're opening yourself up to growth, I feel like, and learning.
Yes.
So I really felt that that was kind of where it was. So I was going to say, like, when we were talking before, because, you know, we chat beforehand, we kind of talked about that, you know, like I'm going to throw it at you. Let me know if I'm wrong. Did I kind of hit it?
Really good. I feel like you honestly hit it. A lot of people sometimes, you know, get caught up in what it might mean. And I always say that it can mean whatever it wants for whoever.
The interpretation.
But that was a great interpretation. That's definitely where I was at when I decided to name it Aperture. That was more so my headspace.
I liked it because in there you touch on themes of relationships, you touch on themes of faith, you touch on very, like, things of you know, gender even. Mm-hmm. And it's really incredible to your writing in that. And I'm a very, very big fan. But what are some of the things that along this journey from what is going on in 2021, being released and everything, working on Aperture, putting it out, and now touring it, what have you really learned along the road, both about your music and the business, but also, you know, more importantly, I think, about yourself?
Yeah, something I've learned, at least in terms of the music, is that I've never been one to really write for the live show. I've just focused on writing for, you know, my own experience and the listener's experience. But something we're learning on tour is like how to make arrangements, you know? Sometimes what you take from the studio version doesn't always work out in the live version. So you have to figure out how to spice it up or maybe water it down at times. And that's been cool to figure out on this tour we've been on. But something I learned about myself is just it's important to take time and to go at your own pace and to just remember that you know yourself best. So just follow what your body is telling you in your mind. And that's been something I've been trying to practice, you know, on this tour and in between albums and school and whatnot.
Yeah, it's like you got to take that time, carve out time for yourself.
Yeah.
So definitely self-care, I'm sure. What is, I mean, now that we're on that topic, what does self-care look like when you're on the road? Like, what's your thing? What is your thing to do to kind of like, let's recenter and zen myself?
Yeah, I'm definitely more introverted. So something that I have to do a lot is just go to the back of the van. That's usually my row. And I always have my headphones in, listen to one of my favorite albums. And just like, I'm a chronic napper. So
I love it.
Just like not having to be present all the time and taking advantage of moments where I don't need to be the front person or I don't need to be the leader is very important to me because that allows me to recharge so that I can step up, you know, when it's time to play the show or like take on that leadership role.
Honestly, I kind of feel very similar to you in that aspect is I'm that outgoing introvert.
Yeah.
So where I can turn it on and be there and be present and be like in, and then I need to recharge those batteries. Like you got
to
reset.
You have to.
I love it. Yeah. I love your process. So we've talked about your journey and you're on it right now. You just launched your Aperture headlining tour, your first ever headlining tour. You're going to be playing the Echo tomorrow, one of my favorite venues here in LA. I absolutely love that place. But how does it feel to be the headliner? Because you've opened for plenty of artists. I mean, amazing artists.
Yes.
Wet and Beach Fossils.
Yeah.
I mean, to be a couple of them. But I mean, how does it feel to be on your own tour now?
It's pretty surreal. I think there's definitely still parts of it that I'm trying to navigate, you know, because like you said, I was so used to and pretty much comfortable doing the support thing.
Yep.
And we really got it down and we really understood what it meant to be a support band and how to win the crowd over and how to not take up too much space. But now that I'm the headliner, it's been interesting trying to figure out, you know, how to pick up the pace and really energize a room, mm-hmm. because they're there to see you and they're paying to see you. And it's crazy to look out into the crowd and see people singing my lyrics. Like, that's been really rewarding. So
it's gotta be
I'm
so
enjoying
surreal.
It, but it's very surreal. Oh, it's different for sure.
That's amazing. And at 21. Literally yes. 21. I mean, she's 21. So I always love to kind of wrap up my interviews with this question.
Yes.
And of course, I kind of had to give it to you before because I don't want to just spring it on you.
Yes.
But if you had three people, living or dead, musician or not, it can be three people, mm-hmm. anybody, mm-hmm. that have had a major impact on you and your life that... Let's say you had to make some dinner reservations tonight and you wanted to invite all three. Who are those three people?
Yes, I would say Zendaya.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent actress, but she also had music on Disney Channel. Yep. And I grew up on Disney Channel. Then I'd say Michael Jackson, because that was the first big pop star that I adored as a child.
And you were saying you tried to emulate his dancing.
And I tried to emulate some of his dance moves. Yes. I don't know if I succeeded because I was like 8. But he's definitely someone that we always had the music videos on. Like, I definitely became enamored with what it meant to be like a musician. And then my next pick would probably be Drake.
Drake. Nice. Yes.
So Zendaya, Michael Jackson, Drake.
I love it. I love it. Hannah, it has been such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Good luck on your show tomorrow. I know it's going to be fantastic because it's at the Echo. You're going to have great sound and wonderful drinks.
Legal drinks.
Legal drinks now because you're 21. But congratulations on Aperture. You can get it wherever music is sold. It's on Sub Pop Records. Definitely go check it out. It is worth a listen. And if you want to go see her live, she's playing the Echo tomorrow. She'll be playing in San Francisco up at Brick and Mortar on the 20th. And on the 21st, she'll be playing in Sacramento. So Congrats. And I can't wait to see where this journey takes you.
Thank you.
Now we're going to have Hannah Jadagu play a few songs for us.
space, it's not there. I'm supposed to say I don't care, 'cause I turn my back. Now you're faced with that. Sorry if I'm being short. It's just that I can't stand to hear your voice when it's so, so loud. Should I quiet down? Thank you.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Jet. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Over the air at 88.5 FM and streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.